Your friends on the radio, CKUW 95.9 FM.
My name is Dustin Rogers, and today on the show, the music of Front Mission. It is a late-era Super Nintendo tactical RPG released only in Japan in 1995, and this soundtrack was composed by two women, one who I've covered on the show before and one that I never have before, so new stuff. I will definitely be talking about them later on this hour. In fact, one of the major focuses of my show today will be on the artists who contributed to Front Mission, the people who are responsible for its sound and visuals, because this game, Front Mission, spawned a series of fairly popular games and a media franchise that continues to this day. Although it's relatively unknown here in the West, certainly it's a game that I've never played. So let's explore this soundtrack together. You're listening to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. So welcome to Square Wave, everyone. As you caught the intro there, we're listening to Front Mission. That was a song called A Minefield. I believe it is the opening cinematic from that game. I hope everything's sounding good. This is my first time in the satellite studio that we have for a couple of weeks here at the station. We are live today, and it is a hot one outside, so I hope you're staying cool. Well, the music today will help you stay a little bit cooler than I think otherwise. Now, I do want to get into some business before I get into the show. I want to talk about the Beeps and Bops show coming up at the Park Theater on July 30th of the end of this month. So if you've never had a chance to catch a Beeps and Bops show, they're put on by a group called Bonus Stage. They're out of Vancouver. And these shows bring together some of the best of our local video game music scene here in Winnipeg. Now, as I said, this one's at the Park Theater on Thursday, July 30th, and it features an outstanding lineup of acts that really just cannot be missed. Anytime these guys put this lineup together, I'm there. So the one band I want to highlight is Super Effects. These are hard rocking guys. I know some of them, and I've interviewed them before. They are absolutely fantastic, part of our local scene here in video game music. Hard rock metal covers of Mega Man, F-Zero, Halo, and so much more from the late 80s and early 90s that I love, that era that I was raised on. There's also 8-Bit and the Single Players. They're returning to the stage as well. This is Ben Kidd, a.k.a. 8-Bit, and he leads a rotating cast of musicians known as the Single Players through his own captivating, upbeat, and thoroughly impressive arrangements of video game music. Some of the most impressive arrangements of video game music that I've ever heard is, in fact. So make sure you go for those two. But there are two new acts that I've never seen before. This will be, we're going to hear some classical arrangements from SideQuest Quintet, which is a subset of the larger Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra. And we're also going to be hearing a set from Shay's Violin. Now, a moment ago, I called Ben Kidd, a.k.a. 8-Bit, a prolific local arranger of video game music. Well, Shay seems to be giving him a run for his money because she's been putting out a steady stream of YouTube videos featuring her creative multi-instrumental covers, prominently, though, yeah, her violin on YouTube. You can actually find all these acts, 8-bit and the single players, Super FX, a Side Quest Quintet as a part of Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra, and, of course, Shay's violin on YouTube, and they have various Spotify and Bandcamp pages, but if you want to just check them out, I think the easiest place, and they can point you to their other links, is through YouTube. So make sure you catch the Beeps and Bops show coming up July 30th. Tickets are about $35 on Eventbrite. It's at the Park Theater. All ages are welcome. It's an absolute steal of a deal for video game music fans to see Super FX, 8-Bit, the SideQuest Quintet, and Shay's Violin all in one night, all in one place. I will be there, so come say hi and get your tickets for that show. For now, though, we're going to get back into the music Front Mission here on Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This hour, we are playing the music of Front Mission, which is a game released for the Super Nintendo way back in 1995. It's a fairly obscure title for us here in the West, but it's quite a successful one in Japan, the only territory where this first game was ever released. So their Front Mission sold more than 500,000 copies, and Famitsu, which is a Japanese magazine, I think formerly was a Japanese magazine, considered at the time to be the foremost authority on game reviews, it awarded Front Mission a generous 9 out of 10, and this helped launch the long-running Front Mission series that we know today, or some of us know. Certainly, the biggest attraction to Front Mission for many was its storytelling, and the game takes place between the 21st and 22nd centuries, and it involves military conflicts and political tensions and, between powerful supranational unions and their member states. In fact, the game is somewhat prophetic, or at least it hews closely to a potential reality. The story of Front Mission takes place largely on a fictional Pacific Ocean island that was created by volcanic activity off of Mexico's west coast in the 90s. And in 2002, the landmass had become an island about the size of Oahu, and it was ceded to the UN under their control. However, in 2020, the United States of the New Continent, which is a unification of North American and South American countries, if you can imagine such a thing, made a bid to control the island after withdrawing from the United Nations. Does this sound familiar to you? I don't know. It's maybe the future, maybe hopefully not. So opposite the United States of the New Continent, they dispute this claim. So this is the Oceania Cooperative Union, a similar and equally hard to imagine alliance of South Asia, Southeast Asia, Japan, South Korea, and Australian nations. And in 2065, the two superpowers attempt to colonize the island. Tensions flare up and eventually lead to a conflict. And this is where the story of Front Mission starts. So gameplay-wise, Front Mission resembles your standard tactical RPG of the era, itself being inspired by Nintendo's Fire Emblem series. Other games like this include Final Fantasy Tactics, Advance Wars, Disgaea, XCOM, Pokemon Conquest, just to name a few. But if none of that is helping to paint the picture, then imagine looking down at a chessboard. You can move pieces across tiles and attack the enemy's opposing pieces, only instead of a board, it's like a battlefield. Sometimes it's rocky and some mountainous. Sometimes it's urban, etc. And instead of chess pieces, the player controls a variety of mechs, which are fighting robots that stand about three stories tall. Now, if you're like me, then there is nothing you enjoy more than giant fighting robots, except for maybe giant fighting robots that transform. And Front Mission has the former in spades. And in fact, the game offers players a daunting level of customization for their mechs. And if anyone has played an Armored Core game, then you get the picture. This was certainly probably an inspiration for some of that. Now, no universe can go without giving their mechs a silly mech name. You know this, Jaegers or Evas or Patlabors or whatever. You just can't call them mechs. Apparently it's unoriginal, possibly copyrighted. And in Front Mission, their giant fighting robots are called Wanzers, derived from the German word Wanderpanzer, or walking tank. The game was popular enough that it spawned a long-running line of manga, several novels, two live-action films, and a 10-episode radio drama directed by Hiroshi Yamaguchi, whose Okami score we played recently here on Square Wave. Anyways, these all supplement the stories, the supplemental stories all sort of benefit the overall Front Mission games. So each title, each game, is a standalone entry. You can jump in at any point, but if you take it all together, all these releases, all these different, multimedia outlets for Front Mission, it is a tremendously deep and rich universe, quite a bit of storytelling. It's comparable to a serial drama like 24 or Reacher with plenty of political intrigue, except, instead of Kiefer Sutherland, you get mechs, which I'm a big fan of. Kiefer's all right. With that said, let's get back into the music, and we'll talk more about the people behind it after this on Square Wave CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. All hour I am playing the music of Front Mission, which is a game for the Super Nintendo released way back in 1995 by Square, today known as Square Enix, of course. And Front Mission, this game, was developed originally by a team, an independent team of developers going by the name of G-Craft, and it was published by Square. And the studio G-Craft was, like I said, initially independent and was working in collaboration with Square on this game. But in 1997, during production on Front Mission 2, Square decided to buy out G-Craft and incorporate it into the company as Product Development Division 6, which is a part of Square Enix that still exists today. And the concept for the series, Front Mission, I touched on in the last segment, it was created and pitched by Toshiro Tsuchida, and he initially had some trouble convincing Square to back this game. They were, you know, famous for Final Fantasies, very high fantasy in general, and, you know, this was quite a departure, going into a future, a semi-real version of the world with mechs and technology and guns, and it was quite different. So he had a little trouble convincing them, but eventually the Square did see the vision here and eventually decided to support Tsuchida's vision for a sci-fi tactical RPG. And they really did seem to go all in here, because this is a bit of my inference, but they committed some of their best talent and resources to this game. They used their connection with Yoshitaka Amano on this game, believe it or not. So Yoshitaka Amano is an incredible illustrator. He's famous in Japan, and he was at the time already, of course, for his work on stuff like Speed Racer, Gatchaman, Vampire Hunter D, more than I could possibly list here. For those of us in the West, if you've ever seen the cover art of a Final Fantasy game or the logos for any of the mainline Final Fantasy games, the watercolors, the intricate swooping line work, that's all Amano, for sure. And his art for Front Mission certainly helped the game stand out on shelves, and really remains striking and beautiful today. I encourage you to go and look up some of the art that Amano did for Front Mission. And the developers in this game recall that it was somewhat of a departure for Amano to draw characters from a sci-fi or futuristic setting. Remember that Front Mission was developed, you know, before Final Fantasy VI. Apparently, Amano and the team at G-Craft iterated on the character designs over and over, and ultimately he produced something like 30 to 40 drawings, just concepting the game's 10 main characters. The developers even asked Amano to depict some of the cast smiling, or at least not scowling, which had become one of Amano's signatures, of course. So I have a quote here that I found on shmupulations.com, which is a fantastic website I hope never goes away. It's an interview with Hironobu Sakaguchi. He's the creator of the Final Fantasy series, a longtime major player at Square, and he talks a bit about working with Amano on Front Mission. He says, quote, "Once he gets a solid image in his mind, Amano is the kind of artist who will keep drawing and drawing without further instruction. He got really into this project. He created some huge canvases for us. Some of these illustrations even included mechs, which really surprised us. In that sense, Front Mission's development had a certain verve to it, where people like Amano got completely absorbed in the world and ended up being full, willing participants in its creation, not just hired hands." And Amano wasn't the only artist who immersed themselves in the development of Front Mission. I have yet to talk about the two composers responsible for everything that we're hearing this hour, and that is coming up. But for now, let's get back to the music of Front Mission. You are listening to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I hope you're staying cool out there in the city and wherever you're listening to this. And I hope you're enjoying the music of Front Mission, which is a Super Nintendo game released way back in 1995, exclusively in Japan, quite late in that console's lifespan. I mean, the Ultra 64 was right around the corner. So, you know, they really... I guess they put everything they had into it. And it really does show because it was a hit. It sold over 500,000 copies in that territory alone. And it spawned a franchise that continues to this day. And it's thanks in no small part to the artists behind Front Mission's development. And I really have to hand it to the composers here on this soundtrack because it sounds fantastic for a Super Nintendo game. I don't know if you've picked up on that out there in listener land. I'm not sure if it totally comes through over the air. But gone are the usual fare of Super Nintendo's stock sound fonts. The overbright trumpets and the big kettle drums, kong, kong, kong. Front Mission has a clarity to its sound that is a testament, I think, to the tools that the composers had access to working with Square, in part because of all the work that that company had already done for years on the Super Nintendo for all of their Final Fantasy titles. I mean, I can only imagine the technology that they'd put into making their games sound as good as they could, because the Super Nintendo produced its sounds from a tiny wave files or tiny wave files that could be sampled and played back in a sequence. So, you know, compare that to a Sega Genesis, for example, which has a built-in sound chip. You can program that sound chip to make any kind of its sounds, but at the end of the day, it can only make the sounds that it can make. It can't sample, or generally had to use another device that could only have very low-quality samples. Now, the Super Nintendo still does use those low-quality samples, but it loops them in a way that makes them sound more natural. And so when you work on the Super Nintendo, unless you're doing a ton of recording and uploading and clipping of your own WAV files, you're dealing with very basic sounds, and a lot of games for the Super Nintendo just use those because that was what came packed in, and or from Nintendo, and it just really doesn't give them these a lot of other soundtracks the same oomph, same punch that this one does. And really, this one sounds like, it sounds like to me like MIDI playback. It's a triumph that it sounds so good, and it really gives the soundtrack a timeless feel, if you ask me. So it was composed by Yoko Shimomura and Noriko Matsueda, and at least one of those names should be familiar to regular listeners of my show. I'm, of course, talking about Yoko Shimomura. She is a veteran video game composer behind many beloved video game scores, including Street Fighter II, Parasite Eve, Kingdom Hearts, and many, many more. She began working for Square in 1984, but at this time she had already composed for over a dozen titles. Now, Shimomura was working at Square, and in, you know, leading into Front Mission's development, she was like head down on the Super Mario RPG, another one of her all-time classic scores. But then she was approached by none other than Hironobu Sakaguchi, who re-enters the story here as the, you know, the creative lead behind Final Fantasy main games and a huge influence at Square, i.e. her boss. And she asked, Hironobu Sakaguchi asked Shimomura to compose on Front Mission, and she says she was unable to refuse. And the quote doesn't make it clear whether she, couldn't refuse or didn't refuse, but either way, Shimomura is responsible for about half of all the music that we've heard so far. And Shimomura tended to, on this soundtrack, take the more upbeat or aggressive sounding songs on the score, whereas her co-composer, Noriko Matsueda, composed the more relaxed, tense, or somber tracks. And this next set starts off with a song by Shimomura before we transition into four tracks by Noriko Matsueda. And you don't have to listen very closely to hear the difference in styles that each composer brings on this project. So, like I say, we're going to take five songs. First one is by Shimomura, and then the next are all Matsueda. So, we will be back to talk more about Noriko Matsueda after this. You're listening to Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
We'll be right back.
Such a beautiful track there. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. If you're just joining us, I'm playing the music of Front Mission, released on the Super Nintendo way back in 1995. It was composed by two outstanding composers, that being Yoko Shimomura, who I talked briefly about in the last segment, and I've done entire episodes on in the past. She needs no introduction. However, her compositional counterpart, Noriko Matsueda, is a new composer to Square Wave, so let's talk a bit about her. Noriko Matsueda was born December 18th, 1971, in Tochigi, Japan, where she began creating music at a very early age. The story goes that she won a music scholarship at just 3 years old. You know, incredible stuff if that's true. I hope the competition wasn't just like younger children than that, but anyways, she won, exciting, and then she went on to study the piano and electric organ at the Shobi College of Music in Tokyo. And in 1994, Matsueda joined Square, where her first assignment was to compose this game, the 1995 title Front Mission, alongside Yoko Shimomura. Now, during her time at Square, Matsueda created music for 9 games, and today she is best known for her work across the Front Mission series that we're hearing today, on The Bouncer and on Final Fantasy X2. And I was surprised to learn that she contributed the track Boss Battle 1 to Chrono Trigger's score. I was blown away to know that she was on one of my favorite soundtracks of all time. So Matsueda is beloved for her jazzy style, and I bet you could really hear it on those tracks that we played a moment ago. She's also touched on genres like jazz, fusion, lounge, and ambient throughout her career. And she believes, Matsueda believes, that the best qualities for a composer to have are curiosity and sensitivity. And she believes watching, listening, touching, and feeling are important factors in her compositions. So Matsueda cites George Gershwin, Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea, Igor Stravinsky, and Gustav Mahler as her major musical influences. As for her compositional approach to video games, Matsueda draws inspiration from all parts of the work, including the story, the worldview, the personality, the characters, the graphics, and the color palette. She says that she makes music with intention, bearing in mind the goal of the music for the game and its overall balance. So Matsueda hasn't really worked in video game music for a little over 20 years. I think her last entries were in the mid-2000s, 2004, if I recall correct. As I mentioned, Final Fantasy X2. And I know she's done some other side projects for Square, including some piano-based solo albums that she contributed to. Yeah, so there is more work out there, but she's no longer involved in video game music, unlike Yoko Shimomura. So that pretty much does it for us here on Square Wave. I hope you enjoyed this hour of Front Mission music, and I hope you're staying cool out there in Winnipeg and wherever you're hearing this. We're going to jump back into a few more tracks. This one is going to be Elegy, not spelled the way you think, by Yoko Shimomura, and then finishing off with a couple more tracks by Noriko Matsueda. We can hear her beautiful jazzy style to end the hour. So have a great week. We'll be back next week, and keep listening to CKW for more great programming, including Active Voice coming up right away. Stay tuned.